present Figure with Meat by Craig Warner.
You are such a big man, Johnny God. You have such a big hand, Johnny God. You just stroked your beard and the whole wide world appeared. Have got a big fan, Johnny Guy. Well, you coughed up the skies, Johnny Guy. Cried the oceans from your eyes, Johnny Guy. Oh, you just did a sneeze and gave us all the trees. You're a nice man for your size.
You're a nice man for your size, Johnny God. What an appalling reduction of our great creator. God does not look like an old man with a white beard. He looks more like pair of clouds with multicolored lights streaming between them. I'll tell you, the direction our country is taking is a downward spiral straight into hell. This afternoon, I attended an art auction entitled Images of God, and I could not have been more appalled. The wanton perversion, God's almighty name dragged through the mud. I had the exhibition closed, of course, using the Blasphemy Act of 1689, which my research taught me was still on the books. But I brought examples with me so that the fullness of their obscenities may be revealed to you as well. Slides, please. The first painting shows
a religious man in a dank tiled room, musked over with the smell of incense. He watches blood trickle down from two carcasses which hang on hooks at either side of his chair.
Holiness.
What was that music?
Georg Friedrich Handel, Holiness.
Not one of ours, I take it.
No.
And the singer?
One Miss Barbara Jones Streisand, very popular amongst the Jews and homosexuals.
Oh.
In fact, Jewish homosexuals, when the combination arises, are said to faint at the very mention of her name.
From America, no doubt.
Malibu, Holiness. The very Babylon of colonial libertinism.
Decadent.
Oh, yes. Naked foot races, dog-shaving parties, vodka enemas passed round in a circle.
Burn it to the ground.
Yes.
And as for Miss Streisand, have her stripped, washed, and brought before us. We will question her before passing judgment.
What am I to accuse her of?
Blasphemy, jewelry, and taking breaths in all the wrong places.
Yes, Holiness.
And you, my brothers, look. Look upon the carcasses of sinners and see their filthy blood puddling on the floor. On my left
is a female. Pardon? The one on his left.
She was guilty of adultery.
How can you be sure about that?
I'm an art dealer.
Oh.
And the one on his right
was a man. He was guilty of the even more odious sin of buggery and was unable to plead any mitigating circumstances.
But they're just carcasses. How can you tell what sex they are?
I know everything about this painting.
Do you?
Yeah. I've come to bid for it.
Oh.
I'd lay down everything I own to have it.
Why is that?
Because it perfectly describes the evil of beauty and the beauty of evil.
The adulteress was hardened to the street. She would wait for her husband to arrive home drunk, and she would slink out of the house practically naked, slide lankily, lustily into the dark mist between buildings, her black soul comfortably camouflaged there. At the hotel, she'd take the stairs three at a time, her thighs slapping one against the other, give the secret knock, and collapse in his strong arms, drooling in anticipation of the carnal pleasure to come. She would flap against the bed like a fish and squeak at the end, then throw her dress over her head and ooze home, silent, dreaming, and satisfied.
I do believe I'd bid my gallery away for it.
Wow.
Will you be bidding against me?
Oh, no, not at all. I was abandoned by my friends. They went to see a matinee of Chekhov.
Can't stomach Chekhov.
Ah, nah, there's nothing you can come out humming.
I thought you'd stay for a drink.
Yeah.
Well, glad you did. I'm Colin Fitzroy Langham Brown.
Malcolm Rangowitz.
How'd you do?
How do you do?
The sodomite was fond of men. He loved them with an abandon so great he threw spirituality to the wind, touching the knees of those bathing nearest, no doubt flicking his tongue lizard-like at their ears. And every time he firmed up down below at the sight of a leg with hair on it, the smell of bodily perfume unique to our gender, the touch of a hand rippling with masculine veins, the firmed-up part formed a banner waving up to the firmament, crying out in its muted purple voice, I sin, in an exultation of betrayal, wantonness, and frank, godless lust! And it is our view that this is not to be tolerated. Yes, that is our view. No, it is not to be tolerated.
I didn't think there was any beauty in evil.
Oh, yes. Yes, it has a wicked charm.
And evil in beauty?
Without an element of evil, beauty loses complexity and ceases to be beauty.
So what does it become?
A doily.
So I had their clothes removed. They were in the same room when this was done. No doubt it titillated the sinners both. It didn't titillate me. It didn't titillate me. They were chained on tables and sliced from their throats down to their sullied parts, neatly, shallowly, and slowly. Once their skin was hanging off the edges of the tables, I had their legs spread by monks until we heard the cracking of the joints. I made a wish, and the legs, now bound to the bodies by nothing but skin, were severed from the torsos with what amounted to little more than the fingernail of an archbishop. Finally, we twisted their heads until the flesh had no slack and was forced to tear, and ripped the remaining skin off their backs to reveal them as you see them now. Quite naked, wouldn't you say, brothers?
If this painting doesn't frighten or thrill you, you mustn't have a Catholic bone in your body.
Nope, not one. I'm Jewish.
Oh, Jewish, are you?
I have some Jewish blood.
What about you? No, no, no Jewish blood.
Catholic blood?
I wouldn't say blood. I'm converted.
Why did you convert?
Well, Catholicism has such rich imagery, such a grand sense of theatre. By comparison, the English Church is dull, tacky, and, well, just a bit north of the park.
Which park is that?
There's only one park.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
And this one here, it's appalling. Although more superficially ecclesiastical and closer to what we might loosely define as an image of God, it's all the more dangerous because it associates violence with the church. The church, which has really always been a sleeping lamb of love and kindness,
don't know if I'll be bidding after all. Not if she has her way.
Who is she?
One of those lunatic women on a moral rampage. She'd have a shut for a bum in a Rubens.
Subjects like this are not fit to bear the name of art. Nor are, I might add, works exposing any of the three B's. Buttocks, breasts, and bitterty bobs. Art should be pretty and decorative. Its proper subjects being things like flowers and bowls of fruit. Everything but daisies should be burned.
I don't understand what this is all about. But then, I don't know much about art or religion or, well, anything really.
What is it you do?
I'm a chorus boy.
A chorus boy?
In shows. Musicals.
Oh. I thought perhaps you may have been a model.
Well, they tell me I could have made money on my face, but I'd rather make it on my legs. I guess I have the gypsy blood in me.
And the gypsy blood can keep the Jewish blood company.
Well, at least I don't have to confess every little sin I do.
Well, it's just like going to the lavatory, really. Only you don't have to wipe.
But isn't it embarrassing to say it all out loud?
There's nothing they haven't heard before. Most of them are woofters, anyway.
I like that word, woofter.
Do you?
But then, I don't have to be a good boy like you.
And one doesn't have to avoid sinning. Confession's absolution. That's why Christ died. 2,000 years before I was even born, it was predetermined that I could commit any sin I liked and still get into heaven, as long as I was willing to accept Christ as my saviour and make a confession on my deathbed. It's terribly convenient. But then I have heard that people like you can be quite good-looking.
What do you mean, like me?
Jewish.
Well, we're just like normal people. There's nothing different about us.
No.
Except for the little difference down below.
Oh, that doesn't bother me. I'm widely traveled.
Actually, only my father was Jewish, so I was never bar mitzvahed or anything.
I see.
It's just the blood.
Well, it's got to come from somewhere.
Apparently, the Rheingewurzes were a warring tribe in Bavaria in the 1000s.
Where then?
Yeah, so if I'm argumentative, maybe it's just in my nature.
Yes, well, by now, something would have diluted the blood.
Hmm? All that raping.
Quite. So where is Mr. Rheingewurz pitching his spear tonight?
I'm staying in Belgravia.
It must be a bit quiet compared to New York.
Oh, yeah. New York's an interesting place. Full of weirdos. That's the scary part, but it's also what makes it exciting. If you're the average person going there to be normal, you probably won't like it. But if you're a bit of a weirdo yourself, there's plenty of people to be weird with.
Can I ask you something? Without fear of...
Sure.
Would you like to be weird with me tonight?
Why not?
You can't get away with anything. Members of the church. Not really. Not ultimately. So remember to think before you act. And now time for some real music.
Life's great. Life's grand. Future. No more clouds in the sky. How am I riding? I'm riding high. Someone I love. Let fall my love.
Oh, what a great collection of books you've got.
Yes, well, they fill up the stool.
And all the right ones. Melville, Flaubert, Bronte.
Bronte is my favourite woman writer.
She is.
Can I let you in on a little secret?
Sure.
Sometimes I pretend I'm one of the Bronte sisters. The fourth one. I sit before the mirror and act how she would act.
And how would she act?
Well, she'd purse her lips like this. Her back would be straight, bust out, like this. She'd lower her forehead and look up at herself, like this, and
Oh.
It's a little game I play. Do you think it's silly?
Oh, no, no. I think it's very healthy.
You really?
Listen, I got to get back to Belgravia now, but don't get dressed. I'll call a cab.
I said I'd drive you. Taxis can be difficult this time of night. Well, I must say, the day has been nice. In parts. Shame about that blasted hag.
Who?
The one with the auction clothes, twisted old thing. I would have loved to have that painting.
I was in that show, you know.
What?
The pajama game. I had to learn the unicycle.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you think you might like to...
What?
Get together again sometime?
No, my stay is short.
Sure.
I have to get back to America.
Uh-huh.
And there's...
Right.
The other things.
What other things?
You know, finding my passport, packing.
When are you going back?
In 5 weeks. There's a fly in here. I said there's a fly in here.
Well, open your window. He'll be sucked out.
He's still in here.
We'll lure him to the left.
With what?
Well, with some excrement or a beam of light.
I don't have those things.
Catch him, then.
How?
With your hand.
Well, he'll squoosh inside.
So?
I don't want fly juice all over me.
Do something. He's distracting my driving.
Be careful. Here comes a truck.
It's crawling in my ear.
Shake him out.
I'm shaking.
You're swerving.
He's crawling in my brain.
Look out. You're going straight for it.
Bends down. But people have little quirks like that. It's an indication of how they're constructed. Well, that's true. He does have hairy ear holes. Ah, yes, that's right. 3 lots of A4 paper and a box of jumper paper clips. Bye tomorrow. Thank you. That's right. Goodbye. That was the stationery department confirming our order. Wasn't a personal phone call.
You know, they've come out with machines that will record all numbers dialed from each extension and tally the costs as well.
Oh, really?
We're getting one next week. Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, that's very interesting, Mr. Reynolby. Though for me it's purely academic.
Can I see the work you've done this morning?
What work?
Any of it.
Well, the problem with the kind of work I did this morning is that it doesn't exactly... show.
I think perhaps you'd better say to the gentleman in reception.
Gentlemen? Oh, those gentlemen, the gentlemen in reception. I was just going to see to them now.
Time is virtue, Miss Penfold.
And I am a virtuous woman. All my men have said that.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm Edna Penfold, Miss.
It's about time somebody deigned to appear. Could you kindly inform us what's going on?
We don't know what we're doing here.
And where is here?
All right. Let's work this out together. Calmly, calmly.
Look, I don't know what this is or who you are, but I've got some very important clients coming to my gallery in the morning, and I don't intend to be late.
Well, let's discover the truth step by step then, shall we?
No, I have a meeting. Can't you understand that? I can't keep them waiting. It's the Al-Fayeds. I'm too busy to die.
Now, Colin, do you think it would be fair if I gave you special treatment when everyone else waits patiently? Well, look at Malcolm. Quiet, sitting up straight.
I won Mr. Goody Two-Shoes at school.
I am not Malcolm. I am Colin Fitzroy Langham Brown. I would ask you to kindly expedite this process, or I can guarantee a fuss will be made.
Colin.
Mr. Fitzroy Langham Brown.
Colin, there's none of that anymore. Let's get rid of that habit, shall we? There's a good lad.
Oh, Two-Shoe, there's a good lad, me. I'll have your job.
You now have my job.
Colin, what have you been doing all morning? Make me a cup of tea. Is that a personal phone call? You were 3 minutes late back from lunch. I'll have you docked.
I went.
Quiet! No talking during working hours. Make me a cup of coffee. Frankly's post. Take a letter. What is this mess? Who photocopied their arse?
Colin.
Help!
Do you still want my job?
No, no, please. Take me back.
There now. Shall we proceed to the introduction, or would you like to make any more clever comments?
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Who or what are you?
I'm just a blonde girl doing a job, okay? Now, before we begin, do you have any requests?
I'd like to get my hands on that blasted fly.
And here he is.
Spies, spies, spies! I got in your ear. Now you both are here. What a life it was!
Thank you, Fly.
Buzz, buzz, buzz! Little things like me can make you cease to be. Oh, what a life it was!
I said thank you, Fly.
I also do the split.
Right, we'll call you.
Just answer one question.
One question.
Where are we? Are we here for eternity?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to us? Is this heaven or hell? Are we dead or in some sort of antechamber of our corporeal life?
Yeah.
And are we north of the park?
Yeah. Which park is that?
There's only one park.
Oh.
The answer is no. There. That's the answer to one question. You said one question.
Well, which question is that the answer to?
Oh, that's another question.
You're playing with us.
Oh, I know. Isn't it fun? A little bit of power for a petty bureaucrat like me. Oh, it just makes me want to dance.
You're off your trolley.
Oh, what would you say? There could be trouble, couldn't there? Whee! There, that was fun. Now, where do you think would be the best place to start?
At the beginning?
Right, Malcolm. 2 bonus points.
What is the answer, then?
The answer is that you are dead. That's point A.
What's point B?
That there is no truth about what happens after death.
No, what? No truth?
After death, you find what you expected to find.
How do you mean?
Well, if you believed in reincarnation, you'll be reincarnated. If you believed in the attainment of spiritual perfection, you will attain spiritual perfection.
You mean there's no objective truth?
None. It's entirely subjective.
But Plato said that if a vase is beautiful, it would still be beautiful if no one was there to perceive it as beautiful.
He's just spent the last 20 years here with Einstein. I think you'd find him a changed man.
Hello, I'm Plato.
Hiya, Plato.
And I've changed my mind about objective truth.
But you were an idealist.
So I've had time to think. Everything turns out to be relative. Take a glass of water.
Thank you.
I mean theoretically. Why does the glass hold liquid? Why does the liquid not go through the glass?
Because the glass isn't broken?
Shut up, Malcolm. Because the atoms of the liquid are farther apart than the atoms of the glass.
Exactly. But if the glass were perceived by an entity that was smaller than its atoms, it would look like a lot of soccer balls and cricket balls floating around and bumping into each other.
I understood that.
So, if everything is relative, everything is subjective. And if everything is subjective, what better answer to your life after death than a subjective reflection of your own beliefs? I only wish I'd realized this during my life.
No, you're progressing our thinking.
Yes, but now I'm dead and students are reading what I no longer believe.
Well, what would that matter? If truth is subjective, then your current views bear no more relationship to an absolute truth than your earlier ones did.
True. But then why do I bother to go on thinking at all?
Because that's your hell. To think incessantly, passionately, searchingly, and to never arrive at anything. But that's another story, and I don't want to confuse them. Thank you, Plato.
All right. Whatever you believe would happen will happen. But what if someone had some, you know, completely naff belief, like death meant sitting on an old man's lap being given sweets?
Hey, don't knock it.
We don't assess people's beliefs based on aesthetics or originality. If we did, we'd be editors, not the Almighty.
Yeah, but what if someone had neurotic or fetishist perspectives? What if they believed irresponsibly?
We don't interfere. We simply comply. To clarify things, let's take a trip to the gallery, where I'll show you some portraits of the dead. This first portrait is of a woman who believed in ghosts. So in death, she became one. She now haunts the old booze hall where she once sang. Her story is as bleak as any ever told by the blues. And now she sings her song forever. Look at her. Her hair is the hint of smoke always lingering around it. Her eyes are giant drunken tears reflecting ashtrays. Her lips cracked from the acid taste of booze.
Dreadfully unhappy.
I'm so unhappy you can see right through me. I'm a shadow, a wisp of smoke.
Ghosts must be happy.
What is a ghost to her? Some people have no control over their own happiness.
Rubbish. One only has to keep one's faith and heed one's parents, and prosperity unfolds like a map.
Maybe her parents didn't give her such good advice.
My parents' advice was shit.
Always brush your hair 100 times before going to bed.
To get bubble gum out of your hair, use peanut butter.
If you use no expression in your face, you won't get wrinkles.
If you drive between your toes, you won't get athlete's foot.
To avoid pregnancy, jump up and down before, after, and during sex.
To avoid hysterical pregnancy, slap yourself across the face.
I had so many abortions, the fetuses started their own rugby team. Sometimes I'd have 3 or 4 men a night. I'd slug back whiskey over their shoulders. He brought me a bottle of Thunderbird. That was good for twice. Sex got to bore me so much, if I burped, it meant I was finished. The toilet seat was always up. And I was always down.
That kind of existence is pathetic.
What's made her this way?
I don't know. When you're young, you have all the advantages of a clean outlook. The world is full of possibilities, which you shed one by one as the years go by.
share it more than most. In the end, in the drunken early hours of the morning, I catch a glimpse of my face in the barroom mirror. And I found I had believed in ghosts.
And then?
My eternal life now is the same as my life on Earth. I walk through walls. I carry chains. I cry out in the night. I fade. I disappear.
How very bleak.
Introduction gonna be this depressing?
It's an education. Education is never pleasant.
Tell me this. If you comply with any vision of death, what happens to atheists?
Nothing. They simply cease to exist.
What happens to animals?
Well, few animals have an awareness of their own imminent death, so most of them die. They rot, eternal repose. Nothing to write home about.
But some do believe in something.
Yes, you get the odd animal with talent. A bright animal who somehow manages to form concepts in the abstract region of his language-less brain. We had three cats here just last week who believed that when they died, they'd be able to fly. Here's their portrait.
Wow! All they wanted was to be free.
Now they are. And let me tell you, these are three happy cats. Hit it, boys!
We are happy cats, we are happy cats, we are happy cats, we are happy cats. No one has the right to say we don't know where it's at, cause now we're things with wings that sing.
And there ain't nothing wrong with that.
We fly like arrows through the sky.
We'll climb a mile.
We'll climb a mile, we have no fear. We chase the sparrows way up high, wearing a smile from ear to ear. We are happy cats, we are happy cats, we are happy cats, we are happy cats. Down below we're bored of chasing string and getting fat, but we're not bored above. The Lord above has kindly seen to that. Yeah, yeah, we're so moved.
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 My love,
yeah. Oh, my brothers, we were not always the chirpy little things you see before you now. We were suffering from feline melancholia. You ever heard of it? Our faces were so long you could launch a B-52 off them. There was no end to the hot tin roof it seemed that life could bring. But we had a little thing called faith, my brothers.
And now
we fly,
we fly,
we fly and sing. Oh, we are happy cats, we are happy cats, we are happy cats, we are happy cats. We like flying low, so baby, hold on to your hats. Cause we're adoring, are soaring, our engines always roaring. We are choric, euphoric, our mirth is categoric. We're ecstatic, elated, cause we're emancipated. And we're happy cats.
What
a strange and wondrous land this is.
Cats that fly.
They believed it. They created it themselves.
No one could believe anything.
Anything?
Oh, this is beginning to frighten me. Why are you laughing? Where did you come from? Did you ever have a life and lose it?
Where I come from is none of your business.
Look at this. Here we are dead, and we've got some bitch being rude to us.
What did you call me?
I'm just angry, that's all.
No, no, what did you say I was?
Well, nothing. Honest, I'm just,
Say it.
Well, I called you a bitch.
You now have the body of an armadillo.
I have the body of an armadillo!
See, isn't it fun what we can do here? Oh, it's hard having the body of an armadillo, isn't it? Especially for someone who used to be a paragon of male pulchritude. But never fear. Say I'm pretty, and you'll be returned to normal.
You're pretty!
I don't believe you.
You're pretty! Very, very pretty!
Well...
Honest! Honest!
All right. You're not an armadillo. But you're on probation.
You're so... decadent.
Yes, I know, but who cares? Oh, I'm having fun, and it's eternity. You know, what's the risk? Hit me if you like, you'll go right through me. I'm a happy woman. I'm young, I'm vibrant, and I'm alive.
You're alive? But if you're alive, then there's no excuse for your behavior.
Or your position.
To laugh at the misfortunes of others.
To turn me into an armadillo.
To take pleasure in our pain.
All right. You won the truth. I'm dead. Dead. Dead.
But if she's dead, that means she was once alive.
Oh, you got it in one, pretty boy. I was alive. All right, now you're gonna hear the whole story. The story of my rotten, stinking life. You wanna know why I'm such a bitch, don't you? Give me a cigarette. I was a secretary. I typed 40 words a minute. Oh, I did a little shorthand, but not much. I was a good timekeeper, too. God, was I good. I was up there with the best of them. But the job didn't provide many challenges for a girl with unseen talents. At least, not at first. My boss, Mr. Ledskin, used to make me bend over to find things in the drawer marked Z. He became a veritable collector of clients with names like Zimmerman, Zanzibar, and Zebra Crossings PLC. One day I bent down to open the drawer as usual, and I felt a giant blob of his spit splash on my buttock. I turned and said, "What is it you want from me?" "Miss Penfold," he said, "tonight you will sleep in my bed. You will perform any act I require, or in the morning you'll find yourself out of a job." What could I do? I needed that job, much as I hated it, much as I hated him. So I bit my lip, brushed aside a tear, and I followed him home. Oh, it was the most disgusting night of my life. He made me do things I've never even read about. Upside down, wearing ornaments. His bedroom was decorated like a mock version of my reception area. And for a full hour, I had to type naked while he squeezed the pimples on his own buttocks, drooling and chanting, "Sakibariyu, Sakibariyu, Sakibariyu." There was a dictaphone by the typewriter. I turned it on. And from that moment, I had him. At the next office party, as the Beaujolais Nouveau was flowing, I played that tape over the paging system. Everyone listened in stunned horror. Mr. Lipskin turned purple and backed away, cursing me to hell, and fell onto a fax machine which began to whir. He screamed, and the director tried to pull him free, but it was too late. Within seconds, the machine had faxed him to Brussels. You see, it was my vengeance that killed him. Though he was an evil man, it was my black hand that reached out and plucked that life away from him. And what is my eternity for this? What is my hell? An office job! 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, forever! Oh, sure, I get 4 weeks holiday a year. Yes, it's a subsidized canteen. But is there any of that lovely oblivion I've so longed for since birth? Not for Edna Penfold, miss. She's bound forever to an Amstrad 9512 with a letter quality print.
That's the saddest story I ever heard.
Thanks for the sympathy.
I don't suppose there's anything we can do.
There might be something you can do, Malcolm.
What's that?
Well, it's just that it's so quiet here. It gets so lonely.
I bet it does.
And I realize that you're not a whole man, but if you could take pity on a wretched blonde like me, just for an hour, I know it would ease the pain.
Enough of all this. You've drawn your lot. The die is cast. But for us, there's nothing but a big black question mark. Now, I'm ready to find out the truth. The introduction is clear. I understand the rules of the game. Now, let me play.
Colin, I don't like you. You caused trouble. But a job is a job, so we'll proceed. Malcolm, is there anything you'd like to ask before you go?
Nope. I'm not afraid. I believed what my mother told me. I believed if I'd been basically good until I died, then I'd go to heaven.
Yes, Malcolm. You believed it would be like an enormous drinks party on a cloud where you'd meet Noah and Isaac, Solomon and Moses, and where there would always be enough good food to eat and delicious wines to drink, and where you'd never feel pain or misgivings about anything ever again for eternity.
That's it. That's exactly what I believed.
Voila, Malcolm. Here is the portrait of your afterlife.
It's the cast of the Bible.
So it is. Enjoy your eternity!
Champagne, sir?
Oh, yes, please.
Canopy?
Thanks.
Hello, Malcolm. Welcome to heaven. I'm Noah, and these are my animals. May I introduce Solomon?
How do you do?
How do you do? Do meet God.
Hello, Malcolm. Welcome. I love you. I am all warmth and goodness, and I'm here to take you into my soothing arms for eternity.
Oh, God, it's all true. Take me then, God. Take me for all eternity. Bless me and thrust me into bliss.
Well, Colin, it seems your friend has done well for himself.
I knew these other people's fates were perversions. I knew there'd be something wonderful in store.
Prepare, then.
Oh, I'm prepared. I'm ready for grace. I'm ready for harmony. I'm ready for all that wonderful imagery promised by Michelangelo.
Is that what you believed in?
Yes.
Did you believe you deserved it?
Yes.
All right, then. Let me just look in your file. Oh, dear.
What?
Oh, dear.
Huh? What's it say?
It says here you believed confession was absolution.
I did.
But unfortunately you died having been with a man, which is forbidden by the faith you've chosen, and you never confessed. You died in a state of mortal sin.
Well, I'll confess now.
Oh, I'm afraid it doesn't work that way.
There must be some room for negotiation.
You set your own rules.
But if I set them, let me change them.
You can't change them now. You set them during life. So here it is, Colin. The portrait of your afterlife as you've painted it.
No. Not him. It's the painting I wanted to buy.
the day I died.
Well, you've bought it now, baby. Have fun!
Hello, Colin.
God, I really don't know what to say.
You've been naughty, haven't you?
God.
Nasty, dirty. Do you think I like to see that?
No, I'm sure, God, that you don't.
It makes me angry. Angry and disgusted.
Yes, I have no doubt about that, but...
Let's start at the beginning, shall we?
Oh, dear.
When you were 4 years old, you went between the houses with that little girl, Betty, from next door, and took off your clothes, didn't you? You showed her your willy.
We were children. We didn't know what we were doing.
But you knew there was something wrong with what you did. That's what made you do it.
But I didn't mean to sin. Doesn't it really mean to sin?
Doesn't one?
Are we going to go over everything?
We've only got eternity. Oh, we won't go over it all at once. We'll go over a few things, then I'll mete out some punishments. And once you've served, you'll come back and we'll move on to the next few items on the list.
What kind of tortures will there be?
Horrid things. Oh. Things you've never dreamed of. Having to put your face in a toilet that's been used.
Oh.
And ants eating out your stomach and laying eggs in your brain.
Oh.
And ugly people licking your face.
Ooh.
And sweating and drooling and making noises.
Just for showing Betty my thing.
You showed her your pee-pee. Now we're going to burn it off.
Oh, please.
Or perhaps you prefer the vice clamp.
No, please.
Perhaps you'd like us to make you eat a live rat.
Oh, God, no.
Well, look who's finally coming round. What a pity it's too late. Oh, well, should have thought of that before, shouldn't we?
Yes, yes, God.
Here, catch. You act as though you've never seen an Amazonian face bug before.
Get it off me!
All right, I'll get it off with this. Amazonian face bugs are the principal diet of the New Guinea eight-lipped jellyfish. But they can be sloppy eaters.
Please, get them off me!
All right, I'll just use this blowtorch.
Oh, God, please. I'm so sorry. I'll do anything at all.
There's nothing you can do.
Oh, there must be. I believed I died in a state of mortal sin. It's true. And I did believe that meant hell, but there's another side to it. I believed my God to have compassion. I believed him to be firm but capable of the greatest love. I did not worship a monster.
What do you expect me to do now?
I'm begging you to let me go back to Earth. Let me spend 100 years doing good deeds. I'll be a paragon of virtue. I'll read to the blind. I'll wash lepers. I'll marry a woman.
Do you really think you can do this?
Oh, yes, 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 God. I know I can.
Do you believe you could live a life without sin?
Oh, no question at all.
All right, then. I'll send you back. I'll let you live out your days until you die a natural death. But the instant you commit a single sin, if you so much as stretch the truth, you'll be back here instantly and you'll spend eternity in the sin bin.
Thank you, God. I worship you. I prostrate myself before you. But how do I get back?
You've had the power all along.
I have.
Just click your heels together 3 times and say, there's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. But I'm not home yet.
Of course you're not. That's just one of the many fun pranks we'll be playing on you for eternity. Here, catch! Ah!
I think it's appalling. Just look at it. The Pope himself with two carcasses hanging. Oh, I seem to have remembered wrongly. I now see there are three. The Pope himself with three carcasses dripping by his sides and a face of unspeakable malice. I'm sure you all see why I found this auction hellish and wicked, and why I'm pleased to have closed it down.
You are the true pervert, and I kill you now on behalf of all sister poet from Acme Vegans for Greenpeace.
Oh! I've been shot. Just left of center. But I won now, haven't I, God? I've lived up to my end. Now you live up to yours. I believed if I worked hard during my life to inhibit sexual and moral freedoms, that after death I'd be reincarnated as Madonna. I've earned it. I've waited so long. And now, now forever, there will be visions. Come get me, rub me, and poke me, and lather, and take me to heaven forever and ever. Oh, oh, I am man. Hurry, come, death and love, come, death and life.
Where do you want it?
Just there, and hang it straight. Dead straight.
In Figure with Meat by Craig Warner, Colin was played by Clive Merrison and Malcolm by Alan David Marriott. The older woman was Judy Parfitt and Edna Penfold, Miss, was Lindsay Baxter. The Pope and God were Brett Usher and the blues-singing ghost, Joanna Myers. Paul Creswell played the Cardinal, Alan Barker was Mr. Ainelby and Ronald Herdman was Noah and the Fly. Other parts were played by the cast. The Happy Cat song was composed and sung by Craig Warner, who also sang the gospel song. The gospel pianist was Will Gregory, and musical direction was by Stuart Gordon. Figure with Meat was directed in Bristol by Andy Jordan.